Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife.
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live. Who needs Raw?
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And anywhere fine podcasts are available, be sure to hit that subscribe button on YouTube because lately they've been unsubbing people and that's kind of a pain in the ass.
Yes.
Also, if you're on your iOS podcast device or podcast app, rather, you can hit subscribe, download, and helps raise the profile of the show by raising us in the sports and recreation category. We're also available at patreon.com/Steven Larson, where you can contribute to the show, and in return, you get things.
Yeah.
Like a postcard, or maybe like a comic book, or cool things.
Yeah,
like.
We're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw.
Mm-hmm.
We're not wearing any of our product right now.
No, we are not.
But we do have shirts there, 5 right now.
5 great designs.
More to come.
More to come, absolutely.
And if you order between... before Monday,
okay,
you can get 15% off using the promo code MANIA. Order by 12 p.m. Central Time.
Monday. That's correct. So, episode 199 of Going In Raw happens to be WrestleMania. We just got back from WrestleMania. Well, it ended about 2 hours ago. It took us a half hour to get out of the parking lot.
It took us longer than that.
Okay. And we're literally 5 miles away from the stadium.
Traffic.
World Stadium.
Traffic was bad. I mean, it's a large place. They announced the attendance is over 75,000 people.
When we went to WrestleMania 31, it was not that difficult. It was remarkably easy to get out of there.
Yeah.
It was crazy easy. But anyways, that was then. This is now. WrestleMania 33, we were there. We were, so like our commentary right now is not going to reflect commentary that was provided by a plethora of commentators.
Yeah, because we didn't hear any of it.
Yeah.
And a couple of matches I think would have been vastly improved with commentary, I think, because they didn't play as well live. Because there's the thing about WrestleManias. Not only are they huge on spectacle, but they're also, we can watch most matches on Raw or SmackDown, or some matches on Raw and SmackDown,
mm-hmm.
and don't need commentary.
Yeah,
they're fine. Live. Like we went to NXT, we could tell the stories being told.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And you know, by and large, the matches play great live.
Right.
But I think WrestleMania is so tailored to be a very specific product.
Okay.
Namely, huge on spectacle, and I think more so tailored to the TV audience than the live audience.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with that.
So there's a couple matches that I'm sure were vastly better.
Mm-hmm.
The television presentation was vastly better than the live experience.
I would think so. We have not had time to watch it.
No.
So we're just
and there's one match, near as I can tell, that was just crap, period.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
But we can kick it off from the beginning. Let's start from the beginning.
Yes.
In the pre-show, Neville defeated Austin Aries. Oh, and yes, we are going to assign punishment for getting...
Yeah,
for,
I went through our predictions. We'll recap the show first, and then we can dole out punishment.
Oh, no. Oh, goodness. First match. Neville defeated Austin Aries. Decent match.
Yeah. Not a whole lot of high spots, save for Austin Aries did a 450 splash.
Mm-hmm.
That was neat.
Yeah.
Pretty decent match.
I'll be honest, I feel like we could have seen this on 205 Live.
Yeah.
I don't think they pulled out any more stops beyond Neville's cool gold gear. That was cool.
No, I said Austin Aries did the 450 splash. He doesn't do that.
Yeah.
205 Live. Mm-hmm. To finish the match, sorry, we've been out in the heat all day. The finish saw Neville go after Austin Aries' recently surgically repaired, I believe, left orbital bone.
Yeah, that was a cool turning point in the match because that really turned the tide there.
And right after that, pretty quickly after that, he hit the Red Arrow on Austin Aries.
Yeah.
Picked up the win.
Neville's so good at being a heel.
Yes, he is.
He's so good at being a heel.
So here's a great thing is that ramp they had leading to the ring from the backstage area.
Right.
I'm sure it looked massive on TV. It looked humongous.
It was huge.
It was a huge ramp.
Yeah.
And to Neville's credit, while he was coming down said ramp, he was talking trash to
people. Yeah. Yeah.
Around the ramp.
Yeah.
It was great.
He is one of the top pure heels right now.
He really is.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, good match. I just feel like, I mean, dude, I don't know what more they could have done. It's a pre-show match. You're not going to get a whole lot. It was a good match. I'm not saying
it was a good match.
But here's the thing. We both kind of felt like this had the potential to be show stealer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not that.
It was funny.
So it had high expectations because of the talent involved.
It was funny. I think the two matches that we thought going in were going to steal the show, I don't think either of them did. This one and then one later on.
Okay, then we'll talk about that.
Yes.
Next up was the always fun 33-man Battle Royal, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
See, I just thought, why 33? Oh, now I get it. It's WrestleMania 33.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Do you think next year's going to be 34?
I would think so.
Probably.
It's going to get to be a really full ring at WrestleMania 50.
Man, so Gronk was in attendance, and this was just pure fun, okay? First of all, the SmackDown tag team division was treated like common garbage. They were just dispatched with much quickness, like out the gate.
A lot of them were.
Them, Shining Stars. But here's Dolph had a decent showing.
Here's the thing, though. Pretty quickly, both Big Show and Braun Strowman were eliminated by everybody else, pretty much.
This was Big Show has said this is his last WrestleMania.
Yeah, and so the two favorites, the two people we picked to win, were eliminated pretty quickly. And then at that moment, we both thought, probably Sami Zayn.
Yeah, but they swerved us. They typically do this with me because, I mean, they... Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal isn't that important, although I say that, and I know Baron Corbin won
last year. And Cesaro won 3 years ago now.
I mean, that really, Cesaro. I mean, that's fine. Big Show made sense for him to win.
Yeah.
Baron Corbin, I feel like, is the only one who really benefited from winning that. Like, he really anchored himself to that win when he first started out on Maine.
Yeah.
And that was good. It was good for him. He had, like, a feather under his cap.
Yeah.
So there was that, but anyways, yeah, Rob Gronkowski was there because he's good best friends with Mojo Rob.
Mojo, yeah. So Jinder Mahal.
Damo had a great show.
Yeah, Damo did a really great job. Jinder Mahal, he and I believe Mojo went through the second rope to get to the outside.
Right.
Jinder got the upper hand, went to Gronk, knowing that Gronk was Mojo's friend, got in his face. Talk some trash.
Yeah.
Grabbed Gronk's drink, took a drink, and then threw the cup at Gronk.
Yeah.
This angered Gronk. Gronk jumped over the barricade. Apparently, maybe one of the security personnel wasn't aware that there was a spot planned for Gronk.
This is pretty funny.
And tried to hold him back.
She was about to tackle the shit out of Gronk. Could you imagine if she like went Triple H on his ass and started like kicking me in the head?
That would
like,
be something.
Like... Because I'm sure that Bill Belichick probably wasn't huge on this whole thing anyways.
Yeah.
And, like if one hard-ass lady, one tough cookie,
yeah,
like, took out Gronk because he was an overzealous fan.
And also, Gronk is just, he had back surgery, cut short his season.
Oh, yeah.
So
true,
he's still, I would assume, rehabbing.
But anyways, the refs clued her in. He got in. He actually snuck into the ring while Jinder Mahal was giving the business to Mojo Rawley. And Mojo loaded up a tackle. Gronk loaded up a tackle. And when Jinder Mahal turned his way, he shoulder tackled him.
Yeah.
Out of the ring.
Mojo is still out of the ring at this point. Jinder had his attention turned toward somebody else. I don't remember who.
Had to have been Damo, right? No.
Because Mojo was still on the outside. Because after the tackle, Mojo came back in.
Mm.
And they celebrated a little bit. Gronk left.
Well, it says here that Mojo won by last eliminating Jinder.
No, I know. That's true. But I think there was more people involved at that point.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember who it was, though.
Okay, gotcha.
It was a long day.
Yeah. But anyways, Mojo won that. A lot of these, like after we did our predictions video, I was like, man, I really need it. We never go by our gut. We always go by our brains.
Yeah.
And usually that's not a good idea for both of us.
Yeah.
Because gut told me, man, Mojo has. I never would have chosen him to win. So Mojo might have a really good chance of winning this.
Well, it's reminiscent of how WWE treated the Royal Rumble,
mm-hmm.
where the entire focus on the Rumble was on Raw, and Randy Orton got a little bit of a mention on mm-hmm. SmackDown, and he won the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, Randy Orton. Yeah.
Kind of the same thing here, where Mojo had a little story going mm-hmm. into the Battle Royal.
Yeah,
but since he's so low on the card, you didn't think, okay, he's got no chance, especially with Big Show, Braun, Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
In the match, he just didn't really seem... He seemed like a long shot still.
Yeah, he did. He had new gear, though.
Yeah, it was. He's pretty much just had a Maryland State flag on his mm-hmm. shorts. That's pretty much what it was.
I don't like any of that.
It's better than his old stuff, though.
No, it is, because there's white on it. But what do we notice?
It was see-through.
It's see-through!
It looked like he had a pink thong.
Yeah, you could totally see like
or his orange.
So then, oddly, the pre-show featured Dean Ambrose and Baron Corbin for the Intercontinental Championship.
I wonder why.
Because what?
Baron.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Corbin.
I'm sorry, man. We've been watching wrestling for 7 hours.
Yeah.
I have a limit, and I know you do, too. Disappointed this is in the pre-show. Disappointed in the match. It was a 10-minute match, or 11, almost 11 minutes. I mean, admittedly, I watched a lot of it while I was on the concourse, like watching.
Because there's actually a pretty sizable break between the Battle Royal and this match.
Uh-huh.
And knowing that the SmackDown Women's title match got moved to the main card, I don't think either of us had heard news of something else getting bumped to the pre-show.
Yeah, right.
And so I walked out and I was running through my mind, what would they bump to the pre-show? And I thought, well, like, I guess it could be the Intercontinental title match, but I don't think they would do that. And so I'm waiting lined up for a hot dog.
Yeah.
And sure enough, on the TV.
Oh, no, it was Baron's music hit first.
Yeah, hit first. And I look at the TV on the opposite side of the concourse by the concessions over there. And I was like, okay, well, this match is A, on the pre-show, B, happening now.
Yeah.
So we made it out, I don't know, like 2 minutes into the match or so.
Yeah. We saw most of it. And I don't know, it just wasn't that.
It is a pretty.
I'm not going to say I had high hopes for this match, but I had hopes for this match.
I think they could have done something creative.
Yeah.
But they really didn't. It felt like a SmackDown match.
It just felt like a SmackDown match.
And it was kind of a bummer that they did.
I feel like we're going to get a rematch that's better on SmackDown, and Baron's going to actually win it on SmackDown.
Yeah. That will be the street fight.
Yeah.
That we should have got.
Totally.
But yeah, Dean hit Dirty Deeds, which is apparently the strongest finisher in all of WWE.
Oh my God, I know. Why doesn't everybody use the double arm DDT?
We saw people kick out of finishers in several matches during the course mm-hmm. of this evening.
Baron did not kick out of the...
No, strongest finisher.
Yeah, it is. Then the show started, the actual show started, with AJ Styles. They put this one on first, AJ Styles versus Shane McMahon, to pop the crowd. This was not a good match, but it was an exciting match.
It was a match of two halves. The first half... was a bit of a clunker.
Yeah, and AJ was both trying to test Shane's mettle as a wrestler.
Yeah, which really shouldn't be a contest.
No.
But to Shane's credit, he tried.
Mm-hmm.
He tried a lot of stuff.
You can tell they went through this a lot.
Yeah, and I know Shane had been training in at least a couple martial arts.
Yeah.
And he was employing some moves you'd mm-hmm. you'd associate with MMA.
Yeah, sure. Some submission moves.
Yeah. And then at one point, there's a ref bump. AJ accidentally kicks Mike Chioda in the head.
Right.
And AJ takes the opportunity to bring in two single-use garbage cans.
Single-use garbage cans. You can only use them once.
Yeah. So he sets up Shane in the corner, puts a garbage can in front of him, goes to the opposite turnbuckle, like Shane's end-to-end drop kick.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And AJ's going to try to do it. And while Shane's laying there, I see him kind of position his hands to the edge of the garbage can, like, oh,
very
he's going to throw this at AJ.
Very sneaky.
And sure enough, AJ jumps off the top turnbuckle. Shane throws the garbage can on him. Shane turns the tables, puts AJ in the corner, places the garbage can in front of him. Shane goes coast to coast.
Goes coast to coast.
Hits the drop kick.
It was very impressive. Everybody marked out big time. It was very impressive.
Even before that, Shane ate a Styles Clash.
Oh, yeah.
And he kept his head up.
Put his head up. It was perfect. We saw a table spot where Shane went up to the top turnbuckle like he does.
Tried
to hit the elbow drop on AJ Styles on the table. AJ got it at the very last minute, and Shane went crashing through it.
Shane also tried a shooting star press.
Yeah.
Missed. I mean, he landed, but AJ wasn't there when he landed.
I mean, it's typical. It's you know, it's classic Shane McMahon. He just tries to hit a bunch of stuff that he never hits.
Yeah,
but it was cool. It was all mark out stuff. It was like I said. Wasn't a good match. It wasn't a good pro wrestling match. It was an exciting one though. We were marking out. People were into it.
Yeah. AJ finally hits the Styles. Sorry, finally hits the Phenomenal Forearm.
Mm-hmm.
Picks up the win.
Yeah. So that's good. AJ went over. Now he can go on to bigger and better things.
Yeah. And you know, as you said, it was a fun match, and it was probably, especially after watching the rest of the card, probably the right match to kick off the show.
Oh yeah.
Because it started out kind of slow and a little clumsily, by the end, people were marking out for the high spots.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And got people excited for it. Yeah. Following that, it was Kevin Owens versus Chris Jericho for the United States Championship. This, I thought, had potential to steal the show. And granted, we haven't watched it with commentary.
Yeah.
And so my opinion might completely change. I was disappointed in this match.
Yeah, me too.
Because, I mean, strictly on terms of wrestling, it was good.
Yeah, it was fine. We just have high expectations for these.
But
guys,
if you look at, say, Kevin Owens' blow-off match against Sami Zayn,
right,
not only was that a really good wrestling match, they told a really good story.
Yes.
At no point did I feel like during this match they bring up anything. This could have been a match, a really well-wrestled match between two people. Okay, let me backtrack a little bit.
Go ahead.
By and large, this match could have been a match between two people who had never even met before.
Yeah.
Apart from the spots where Owens was doing the Lion Tamer or the Walls of Jericho.
Yeah.
Beyond that, for the most part, they didn't bring up anything related to the entire story that had been told for the previous months.
This was the best built feud going into WrestleMania. And you're exactly right. They didn't really milk any of that.
I didn't really feel like there was any emotion to this match.
It wasn't even as good as like Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins on Raw that time.
No, no.
I mean,
the end kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah,
or it did. Or as abrupt, sorry.
Yeah, it did. Kevin Owens went over.
Won
the U.S. title.
He hit a Jericho with a powerbomb on the apron.
Right, yeah.
Rolled him back in the ring.
Talk about a devastating move.
Well, that makes sense.
You hit the powerbomb.
It's the hardest part of the ring.
Yeah, no, that's totally true. But then you have to take all that time to roll somebody in the ring. If they're like rolling into the ring, then they should have the power to put their shoulder up too. Unless he was just like, fuck this shit. Jericho was very glittery though. That was cool.
Yeah, he came out with a scarf with lights in it.
Yeah, LED lights.
It was pretty neat.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. I kind of feel that they were not as... I feel like not a lot of people had like spectacular WrestleMania gear or entrances that were like over the top. I feel like they put all their budget into like the actual set.
There was a lot of pyro though.
There was a lot of pyro, that's true.
A lot.
Yeah, I just like when they wear slightly out. AJ looked like $1 million.
Yeah.
He had like some new gear.
That was half blue trimmed and the other half was red trimmed.
Well, it was white with like heavy black trim, but then light blue, well, not light blue, but blue trim and then red trim as well.
Yeah, and opposite legs.
Yeah, and it was pretty rad.
Yeah, it was like pretty cool.
You're going to Raw.
Trying to think of anything else worth mentioning in this match. Good. Just not as good as I was hoping it would be.
Thought it could have been another show stealer.
Yes, absolutely. Following that was the Raw Women's title match. This match, everybody had, except for Nia kind of, everybody had enhanced entrances.
Yeah.
Bayley.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Bayley,
I did not watch.
Yeah, you went to the bathroom.
I need to watch this match.
Bayley had she had a hole all across the stage where her, I don't know, what does Byron Saxton call them?
Oh,
inflatable tube men things.
I always call them used car inflatable guys.
So looking at the stage from our vantage point,
right,
all of the tube men, inflatable tube men,
yeah.
I think that's what Byron Saxton...
Wacky,
wavy, inflatable tube men. I think that's what Byron Saxton
wacky,
calls
wavy,
them.
Auto used car.
So all of them on the left inflated and did their thing, but none of them on the right did. And so when Bayley gets in the ring, they have a bunch of them behind... the ring will inflate to the hard egg camera.
Mm-hmm.
So she had extra
wacky, of those guys,
wavy, inflatable tube mitt.
All right, good for
Nia Jax came out next. She just had a new robe.
Yeah. Oh, she had an actual robe?
Yeah, kind of. But it kind of had like a corseted thing up top, and then it was flowy behind that.
Oh, that's cool.
Sasha. Bayley had pyro too.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay.
Nia Jax.
Sasha, you said, came out like on a golf cart.
Yeah.
You're talking about, you said Nia Jax. You meant Charlotte with a robe.
No. Nia Jax. I know exactly what I'm saying.
Well, what did you say about Nia Jax?
I said she had the corseted rope type
thing. No, I know. You were going to move on.
Oh, Bayley had pyro. Nia Jax did not have pyro.
Oh, okay.
Sasha came out in what looked to be like a really souped up kind of almost golf cart. But it didn't look like a golf cart. But
you know,
it was
in
small.
My head, it's way less cool than it probably actually
but
was.
It looks like an old, I don't know what kind of car it would be, but like an old car. Like an old.
Like an Impala.
No.
Like a Cadillac?
No. Like older than that.
You serious? Really?
Like a car?
It was like a Model T.
Not that old. Like a car you'd see in like a movie about the 30s or 40s.
Are you serious? She came out in like a fucking Tom Joad car, a jalopy.
No, no. Like a nice car. So, but it was
like one that like
in miniature.
Like one of the Rockefellers would be driving.
Maybe. Okay. Yes. All but right. In miniature. All
right. And the Ambersons were driving that car.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
She was standing on the back. She got pyro and she had new ring gear.
Okay.
And then, Charlotte came out last.
Mm-hmm.
She got pyro.
Okay. Good for her.
So they really spent a lot on pyro.
Yeah.
For this match.
Yeah.
We think here. AJ had pyro.
Oh, I don't care about the
Chris
pyro.
Chris Jericho had pyro.
Let's just move on. I don't care about
going
pyro.
Through this. Nobody so the, pyro. The first bit of this women's match was a lot of fun.
Okay.
The whole match was pretty fun.
Yeah.
But everybody not named Nia Jax teamed up against Nia Jax.
That's good, man. We saw that happen with NXT.
It is very reminiscent of Revival and DIY against the Authors of Pain. And so there's two spots where Sasha and Bayley were trying to get Nia up for a belly-to-back suplex.
Okay.
Couldn't get her up. So Charlotte ran in, kicked her. Then they got her up. And Nia took that bump pretty hard.
Oh, wow.
They folded her up pretty well.
Ooh, geez.
Later on, all three of them powerbombed Nia Jax off the middle rope. They piled on top of her, got the pin.
Nice. Well done, everybody.
There was a spot where Sasha, you know that move she did at NXT Brooklyn? No, sorry. Yes, NXT Brooklyn in the match against Bayley where she flipped over the top rope over the ref.
Yeah.
The same thing, but not over the ref.
Oh, I got to watch that again. I mean, we're going to watch this.
And then right after that, Charlotte got up and did her corkscrew moonsalt onto everybody.
Oh, fuck.
So the very first half of this match was really fast-paced, really good stuff.
All right.
During that part of the match also, Charlotte went over to one of the middle turnbuckles and loosened it up a bit,
ooh,
the pad off. I think she was probably supposed to pull the whole pad off, and maybe the timing was off.
Okay.
So it was just kind of moved down.
Yeah.
After Nia was eliminated, Charlotte and Sasha were in the ring together, one-on-one. Charlotte threw Sasha after Sasha was trying to pin her. Like she kicked out of it and it shoved Sasha into that turnbuckle.
Yeah.
Charlotte picked up the pin on Sasha, only leaving Bayley and Charlotte.
Yeah.
So the finish of this match, I mean, the wrestling involved between Bayley and Charlotte was good.
Yeah.
The finish was interesting because Bayley was put in the tree of woe by Charlotte. Charlotte was trying to do something on top of the top turnbuckle. Bayley grabbed her, threw her over, somehow got out of the tree of woe. And they wrestled for a bit more. Bayley went up to the top rope, hit an elbow, and got the pin on
that
the elbow.
That was her finish. Yeah, I saw that part.
Rather than the Bayley to belly.
Yeah.
And so that was interesting.
I kind of dig that, man. I'm fine with it. I'm totally cool
with
that.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally fine when they...
Who doesn't love the top rope elbow? That's cool.
I know. Like it's great.
That should be a finish, man. You're freaking dropping an elbow, arguably the sharpest part of your body.
Onto someone's heart.
Onto somebody's heart.
From a great height.
Yeah. Can we talk about this next thing?
Hold on. So Bayley wins, retains the women's title at WrestleMania. She gets really emotional after the match. You could tell. They cut the close up and we saw.
Yeah,
the,
what did I tell
the,
you?
On
what
the screen.
What did I say to you?
What?
How much better would it have been if this was her first
time? Oh, a 1,000,000% times better.
Yeah, I know.
It would have been great. That crowd would have popped huge for that.
Big time, I know.
I know they really should have waited to have her win the belt at Mania. I agree.
I know. If they had like really drawn out her struggle like all the way to Mania, I know.
Like every time she wrestles against Charlotte, she gets bit by bit closer to beating her and just can't do it until Mania, and then she wins.
I apologize for sitting like this. I hope it doesn't put anybody off.
The audio might be affected, though.
No.
Because it picks up better right here.
It picks up better where? That's literally where I'm talking to.
Oh, okay.
Right here.
Not right there, you're not, though.
Okay, Anyways, move on.
So next we had the Raw Tag Team Ladder match for the Tag Team titles. Originally announced for this match were Enzo and Cass, Gallows and Anderson, Cesaro and Sheamus. And right as all the teams come out to the ring, they're about to start the match. New Day, your host for the WrestleMania. They had a great... Oh, we should talk about their promo open the show.
Oh, it was great, yeah.
And Big E made a reference to...
I love how they're handling the Xavier Woods page leak thing, because it's done in the most subtle, like Big E... It's just like a thing he has over Xavier Woods where he likes to tease him about it. So he just makes eyes. He says, it's time to, what did he say, pull our levers.
Yeah.
And Xavier says, and he goes, like that. And Xavier Woods is sort of like, you know, beside himself.
And then Big E corrects himself. It's time to pull the lever.
Yeah, to start
the ultimate thrill ride, WrestleMania.
Yeah, we got a hilarious video package for that, too.
Yes.
Like, they went all in on the silly commercial. They, like, did a high-budget version of it.
Some of the stuff was pretty cool. And then we'd come back later on during Triple H's entrance. The 3D Triple H model.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
So, anyways, New Day comes out and says, we just got word that this is now a fatal four-way match.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, I wonder which team is going to be the fourth team. And they were kind of teasing it was going to be them.
Yeah.
Because they were in their ring gear.
Yeah.
And they start to kind of take a couple steps down the ring. Mm-hmm. Cue up the old school Attitude Era Hardy Boys theme.
Yeah.
Crowd goes insane.
Absolutely mental.
Out comes Jeff Hardy. Out comes broken Matt Hardy.
Yeah, yeah. He didn't have a goatee or a beard when he was broken Matt Hardy, did he?
Okay. He had a beard, yeah.
Did he have a beard?
Yeah, he still had the beard.
No, tonight he didn't.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought he didn't.
No, he shaved it.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I was looking, I was like, man, what's different about him? He looks a little bit more baby-faced. And I was like, oh, he doesn't have a beard. I'm like, didn't he have like a beard or a goatee when he was broken?
Yeah, he did have a beard.
Yeah. Anyways, they come out. Matt points at each of the participants and deletes them.
Yes.
He says, delete. And everybody started doing the delete. Jeff was just classic Jeff Hardy. It was not Brother Nero. But we can't have everything. And it was a really fun match. Lots of great Hardy moments. Lots of really good. I thought that Cesaro and Sheamus had a good showing.
Oh, they had a great showing, yeah.
They had a really good showing in this.
Enzo and Cass teased the finish that I originally predicted,
mm-hmm.
where Enzo was on, I said he was going to be standing on Cass's shoulders to get the belts, but it was too high. So he was sitting on top of Cass's shoulders, and Cass was trying to climb up the ladder. So Enzo
right.
Get the
titles. I think Enzo was up there, and then Cass came up and like put
kind
his head in his
him.
Butt.
Yeah,
and pushed him higher. Yeah, it was still a really cool visual.
Yeah. So there was a lot of cool spots with Cesaro and Sheamus.
Jeff Hardy did a fucking senton bomb.
Yeah, two ladders were set up against or across the ring and the barricade.
Yeah.
And it's towards the end of the match, Cesaro and Sheamus were laid across those two ladders.
Right.
Jeff Hardy got maybe the tallest ladder in the world. Climbed it.
It could very well be. Yeah.
Climbed it. And right as Matt Hardy was about to grab the tag titles, he did a swanton off that.
Yeah, yeah.
That happened. Matt Hardy grabbed the tag titles. There are your people new Raw
crazy.
Tag team
this
champions.
This was the by far the biggest markout moment.
Yeah,
of the night, and it was to be there live. Like, dude, this was 7 hours of wrestling. I was telling you through the thing. I was like, man, I feel like shit right now. I'm all dehydrated. But my whining aside, this was worth all that to be there. It really was. Like the fucking Hardys back, and it does look like Matt is doing his broken Matt character. They're probably going to give him a little bit of leeway to do it. Like they can't go all in on the broken universe, but. I mean, I don't think they need to. I mean, here's the thing. Like, I don't know if they're going to go all in on the broken. Do you think they're going to go all in on the broken?
No, I think they're going to follow the lead of what Ring of Honor did, which is let. This is what I'm guessing they're doing. They're going to let Broken Matt be Broken Matt.
Yeah.
The character.
Yeah.
Because, you know, maybe the argument can be made that he created that.
Mm-hmm.
Anything involved in the Broken Universe beyond strictly the Broken Matt Hardy character, I don't think we're going to see.
You're probably right about that. Although if Rebby is to be believed, there was never any. I mean, I know that they showed up on their TV initially, and so that should give them claim to the whatever Senor Benjamin and all them.
Yeah,
but does that mean Senor Benjamin simply can't? Like, can he not act in any role? I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
no. I mean, like, say Impact makes a case that they own the Senior Benjamin IP.
Yeah.
And no one disputes it.
Virgil Vincent.
He could come out And yeah, new name.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
New name.
Yeah.
More or less the same character and they'd be fine.
Yeah. Padre Ben or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. there's a number of ways you can do yeah. that. And I wonder if a case, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I think my thing is this. I would love to see pre-film spots from the, you know, from their houses.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Can impact really. We're not lawyers. We have no idea. That's what we're just like sort of spitballing here. But I think it would be a shame for them to bring in the Hardy Boys. That entire place was chanting delete without taking advantage of some of what they did. And I'm curious, like legally speaking, what could they get away with? Like, can they film at the Hardy compound?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, Impact doesn't own the Hardy compound.
Right, exactly. But like so, that yeah, imagery, I have no idea like where.
No, that should be fine.
You would think.
I mean, in the way Rebby Sky or Rebby Hardy tells it, like it seemed like they were running TNA or Impact was running pretty fast and loose in terms of.
Oh, contracts, yeah.
Contracts like, and releases and all that stuff.
Right, right, right. So, yeah.
I don't think that'd be a problem.
Hopefully, I'm really hoping they just really they get away with everything they can because I love all that stuff.
I mean, ideally, WWE will go to Impact and say, okay, here's a check.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just settle this.
Yeah, I don't. It. Yeah, I know.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
I doubt that's going to happen.
Another thing, though, too, is with the Hardys, you know, we heard about during their negotiations that they don't want to work a full-time schedule, which they shouldn't.
Right. No, yeah, of course not.
So
no,
it makes sense for them to be able to, you know, say they're on Raw most of the time, and when they're not, they can shoot something at the compound.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
To air. You know, maybe if you take Matt Hardy's creative ideas and funnel them through W's creative team, come some more interesting stuff.
Could you imagine, like, Cesaro and Sheamus showing up at the Hardy compound? It'd be great.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic.
It'd be fantastic. It'd be fantastic. That'd be really cool. All right, so that was a huge markout moment.
Oh, yeah.
John Cena and Nikki Bella defeated the hugely over Miz and Maryse.
Yeah.
This was fantastic. The world has turned around on Miz and Maryse. And, dude, we've been saying this for weeks. It's because they have the moral high ground here.
They do, but also Maryse makes the Miz likable. I told you this when we were there.
Well, yeah.
She seems so damn charming.
She does. She does. They as a couple
are charming.
Are charming.
Yeah.
And on top of that, like, I mean, obviously, look, it's Cena and people have very, very strong opinions about John Cena. But it's like especially from our perspective, people who are married and like loving relationships and shit. It's like, and I don't know if that matters or not, but it's like part of the video package build for this was like the Miz and Maryse showing, like, you know, they would show pictures from their like Instagram or whatever. And it's like they legitimately look like a loving couple. Everything about John Cena and Nikki Bella. And granted, I am fully aware that we have no idea what goes on behind the scenes. They're probably a legitimately loving couple.
Yeah.
But what we are presented on TV completely validates what Miz is saying.
Yeah.
John Cena seems like a fucking, like a weirdo maniac with his rules and his robotics and everything is prefabricated. Everything is lawyered up and everything is robotic. And Nikki Bella, like, if you watch, I'm sorry, dude, but I watched Total Bellas.
Yeah.
I watched, like, I think, all of it. They are presented as, I'm not going to say they are, they're presented as some of the most vacuous people you'd ever know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know.
Like, J.J. Bella is tired of his job, so I'm going to go to the performance center. Maybe I can do this. And he's just carrying his mom's bags.
Yeah.
Nikki Bella just always seemingly caring about shit that just doesn't even matter. Like, they just seem like the most vacuous, like,
yeah, I know
people.
What you mean. Yeah.
And then John Cena, like, I know he was playing a version of John Cena. Like, I don't believe that he's like that. We have no idea what John Cena, the person, is like when the cameras aren't rolling.
Yeah.
But what we're presented, honestly, comes off like a couple of assholes.
At
who
times,
you just don't want to be around.
Yeah.
I mean, I love John Cena. He's fucking awesome. But still,
yeah.
In the context of that reality show, I asked you before this match, I said, what? Because I thought for sure that when he proposed to her, because we had just seen the Hardy Boys, that crowd was going to start chanting delete. And honestly, I am so disappointed that they didn't, because that would have been fucking hilarious.
It would have been.
But it would have been great.
At the same time, I think people understood whether it seemed, you know, really pre-planned, the proposal that is.
Yeah.
At the same time, whether that proposal is strictly for television or not, we don't know that. And, you know, more often than not, when you get engaged, that's, you know, one of that's a milestone of your life.
I will guarantee you that shit was all over
TV. Oh, I'm sure it was. Well, I mean, I would based on the size of that the rock that Cena gave Nikki, I don't doubt they're really engaged.
I have no idea about this. It wouldn't surprise me if he popped this question in his own way in private when the cameras weren't rolling.
Yeah.
They decided yes, or she decided yes, or whatever, and then
this could and probably happened part months of ago.
That. And you're probably happened months ago. So all that this was for TV. There's no way that he popped this shit out.
No, I know, but I will say that especially Cena. So he proposed, she said yes, they embrace, and he says something in Nikki's ear for a good 30 seconds or so, and when they, you know, disengage their embrace and turn towards the camera, Cena seemed legitimately emotional.
Yeah.
He seemed like he was getting a little teary-eyed.
He's a good actor.
He is. But, I would like to give him the benefit of the doubt that it wasn't completely a prefabricated thing. Some of the emotions they were feeling were genuine.
Yeah, I'm sure his soon-to-be wife. Yeah.
If the event was completely for television.
How much did Miz love getting that face reaction?
Oh, it was fantastic.
He was eating it up, and it was awesome.
And I was kind of wondering while we were watching the match if the high of the Hardys winning those titles was so high, if he knew if they came out there and just concentrated on wrestling the match, the crowd would just die.
Maybe.
They would just be quiet. And so he did everything he could to keep the crowd engaged in that match, even if it meant him trying to get a face reaction.
Oh, yeah. No, I honestly think at this point with John Cena, like I think they're completely aware of stuff. You know, I was thinking about this when Triple H said the thing about Roman Reigns,
yeah,
and 70% of the people are booing him, so he must be a heel.
Oh, based on tonight, it's more like 95.
No, I agree totally, but he knows that's bullshit. He knows there's a difference between what they call X-Pac heat,
yes,
and heel heat. He knows this, and it's the kind of thing where it's like, you know, when you talk to anybody who's working a job and they have a manager who wants to go one way and you want to go another way, you got to listen to your boss.
Yeah.
And so he has to do, you know, this is the Roman Reigns thing. He has to find a way to justify it when he gets asked that question.
I want
to
ask you a question. So even earlier in this episode, we mentioned, I don't know if we mentioned that WrestleMania is about spectacle, but
yeah, sure.
That it's also about catering, which I don't think we remember. Maybe we did. It caters more to the casual fan than the hardcore fan, but based on the audience we saw tonight, at least in terms of live attendance, I don't think that's the case. I don't think a casual wrestling fan is going to spend a couple hundred dollars and more to go to WrestleMania with their family, especially if they can watch it on TV at home. Also, though, I think you can still order WWE events on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And so I think if you're a casual wrestling viewer, if you're going to watch one of these shows, it's going to be via that route and not the network.
Right.
By and large.
Yeah.
So I know they spend so much time catering to the casual fan. I'm curious how effective that is.
No, you know what is funny? Because I had the exact same thought, but you know when? During the Pitbull concert.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I was like, who does this appeal to?
Yeah.
I get having a very mainstream sounding pop song as your as your thing. I understand that. But going so far as to put on like a mini concert thing when you have a fucking 7-hour show.
I know.
You know, it's like,
it seems excessive.
It does. And I'm like, I get that you're like reloading the audience. They need to go do something. So you have to do something. I totally get that. It's just, that's what you do.
I know.
Put on like a pop. Like nobody there cares about Pitbull. Nobody cares about that shit. Nobody. Oh, the girl who did the national anthem did a bang.
Yeah, she was very good.
She had some pipes on her, man.
Yeah, she was outstanding.
But no, dude, you're right. I mean, listening to that crowd, you know, The Miz was, it's so much fun because there's the part of it also is that, you know, The Miz has been around for a while. And once you pass a certain threshold, and on top of that, frankly, for the past year, he's been doing amazing work.
Yeah, he's probably been doing the best work of his entire career.
Oh, no doubt. Part of that, though, is just the fact that he's been around for so long.
He gets a legacy pop.
So comfortable, and he gets a legacy pop. But when you put him in there against John Cena, and it's like, man, everything the Miz and Maurice says makes sense, and John Cena and Nikki Bella do seem like weird robot people.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's going to get that face reaction.
And I really hope that on SmackDown on Tuesday, The Miz comes out and says, see, mm-hmm. your proposal just validates everything I say.
Yeah, because this match was infuriating. I don't know if it's been infuriating, but it was just... It was like, I mean, it was so... The writing was just so on the wall. Like, you could see this coming a million miles away. And I asked you before the match, I was like, so what do you think they would prefer? 65,000 or 75,000 people chanting delete when he proposes, or having the footage of them him proposing to her in front of 75,000 people and then being able to manipulate the audio for total
deals. The latter.
The latter. And you're absolutely right, and I agree with you 100%. And so that's why I knew this shit was going to take place. It's just like, you know, and it was a fun match for a bit, but look at it, it's only 9 minutes and 40 seconds.
Yeah, the first half of pretty much the entire time it was Miz versus Cena. Miz dominated.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure, yeah.
Like, I don't think Cena really got any offense in until he got the hot tag to Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, Maryse had to come in. Nikki got the upper hand of Maryse immediately. Cena came in. They both did all their signature moves together.
Yeah.
Nikki and Cena, that is. And then they got the win. They got dual pins.
They did the five knuckle shuffle, and then they did the
AA and Rack Attack 2.0.
So, yeah, it was only a 9-minute match, or almost 10-minute match. And, yeah, I mean, look, dude, I wasn't looking for expert technical wrestling here. But I would have liked for them to have given Miz a little bit more respect.
I know.
That would have been good. But, you know, this entire match was also John Cena could. And you know what? Backstage, they probably all hugged. You know, Miz is probably like, oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
I don't know. Fucking who knows. Next up, we had what I think is match of the night.
Yeah, and it probably would have been it would be much better with commentary.
I agree with you on this. This is the match they should have had JR on.
I understand why they had JR on the main event.
Oh yeah, me too. And it's going to be amazing when we listen back to it.
Yeah,
it's
going
to give me freaking chills. But I mean, look, let's be frank. He should have been on every one of these matches.
Yes.
Anyway, Seth Rollins and Triple H. This was a fantastic match. It was a 25-minute match.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, obviously the story of Seth Rollins. He had like a giant pillow
on his knee.
Knee brace going because of his bum knee. Unsanctioned match. Him versus Triple H. And they told an amazing story. Starting off with Triple H coming down on a fucking 3-wheel motorcycle.
Flanked by several police officers.
Yeah, and Stephanie McMahon was riding with him on the back. She looked like a million bucks. He looked fantastic.
Yeah.
And the greatest shit. You can see this on our travel vlog once we get it up. You probably saw it at WrestleMania. Was the giant statue versions of Triple H?
Yeah, we saw it during the opening package of the show when they're doing the roller coaster thing.
That was like a Triple H it was like a Dr. Manhattan version of Triple H.
Kind of. It looked like a 3D render.
Yeah.
Of Triple H from like a video game.
Yeah.
Before they put the textures on, textures and stuff. That's what it looked like.
It kind of had an Atlas from BioShock vibe.
Yeah.
Because he like starts emanating heat and glowing and shit.
And so during the intro package, it's like a shell. And the, mm-hmm. and the real Triple H breaks through.
Yeah.
Well, in his his Titantron stuff, it's just him in shell, 3D render shell, and it's just slightly rotating like this, slowly.
He's not rotating 360. He's just doing this.
Yeah, it's like...
I feel like they had some limitations on the graphics.
25 degrees, I think.
Yeah, exactly. But it was still amazing.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
I loved every second of it. Seth Rollins had some cool, like, gold gear.
Yeah, and
some...
he came out with a torch.
Oh, yeah, that was... Wait,
and
was it...
Yeah, it was a torch. It was a giant... Okay. It was a torch, and he stabbed on the ground, and mm-hmm. we did that. A trail of fire went from the torch down the ramp
mm-hmm.
to the
digital
ring.
Fire, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, not
digital
real fire.
Clarify that, yeah.
And so digital flame showed up on the LED panels around the ring and on the columns
mm-hmm.
holding up the canopy above the ring. Yeah. It was pretty cool. It goes back to how he talked about how he went and burned the whole thing down.
Yeah, exactly. It was rad.
So it's pretty cool. As you said, really good story told. Triple H working Seth's knee. Seth still trying to wrestle his style.
Right, right.
Still be Seth Rollins. While dealing with the knee injury.
And yeah, still selling that knee injury, exactly. And, I mean, this was kind of a hard match to watch because whenever they do matches where you're kind of focusing on that one thing, like, I always feel in my gut that that's like a recipe for disaster.
You know, before Seth re-injured his knee, every time he did the sunset flip powerbomb mm-hmm. off the turnbuckle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I can't watch that shit.
I would cringe.
I can't watch that shit.
And then, of course, they did that spot.
Yeah.
And he put all his weight on his good knee when he landed, and they showed the replay. But he sold it as if it messed up with his knee again.
Yeah, yeah. He was selling like crazy. It was amazing. There was an awesome spot where both him and Triple H were trying to get off their pedigree. That led to the finish, which saw Triple H. There was a great moment. I'm sorry. There was a great moment when they come crashing outside the ring. Triple H had, they're outside the ring. They're on the mat. Triple H had Seth in some sort of knee bar submission thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Seth Rollins, in desperation, was looking for something under, because he was right next to the apron. He was looking for something underneath the apron to get out. And he did this with expert precision.
Yeah.
He sort of looked like he was just grabbing whatever he can find, but he happened to get the sledgehammer.
Well, first he got a chair and kind of threw it over towards Triple H's direction, like, and landed on him. And then he got the sledgehammer and just threw it out.
Yeah. But it was like he grabbed like a bunch of wires, and with that came a bunch of crap, including a sledgehammer, which landed perfectly next to Triple H.
I know.
And I swear to God, it was so great, because Triple H looks over, and it's like me, if somebody just put a burger right there, it's like, oh, look at you.
And then when he picked up a sledgehammer, it looked like he wanted to kiss it.
He was like,
he was so happy to see it.
He was like, oh, you're my best friend.
He was so happy to see sledgehammer.
I find it funny that he threw a sledgehammer at me.
He was so happy to have his friend sledgehammer.
Very
back.
Excited, but anyways, that led to like a really cool sequence. But like, they didn't really do much with the sledgehammer,
no,
because Stephanie took it away.
We got to talk about this leading up to the finish. There's a spot where Triple H is thrown towards the ropes. Stephanie is on the ring apron after taking the sledgehammer out of Seth's hands, and. This is what happened. Triple H is running towards Seth. Seth gets out of the way. Triple H puts on the brakes so he doesn't hit his wife.
Yeah.
Earlier in the match, Seth had set up a table directly below where Stephanie is.
Right.
And so Triple H puts on the brakes, turns around. Then there's a sequence where Seth pushes Triple H into Stephanie. Stephanie goes for the table.
Well, no, he super kicks him. He super kicks Triple H, who in his like dizzy stupor of being super kicked, stumbles into Stephanie, who's still in the ring apron for some reason, and she goes crashing through the table. And Triple H's reaction was priceless.
Yeah, he was incensed.
He was
all pissed.
Doing this shit with his mouth.
And so he turns around, takes a couple steps towards Seth. Seth kicks him in the gut. Pedigree, win.
Mm-hmm.
Good match. I want to watch it with commentary because I think
it's going to be a fantastic match. I think it's going to be a really good match.
Yeah. Next, not a good match. Pile of crap. One of the most confusing, pointless, crappy wrestling matches I've ever seen.
Preach on, man. Preach on.
Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt. Now, we sat there and watched this match, and I was confused because I wasn't sure what story they were telling because it was a giant mess.
Yeah.
And so I took to the Twitter, asked the good friendos out there, does this match make any more sense with commentary? And it was basically unanimous.
No.
It doesn't.
No.
So, near as I can tell, the story of this match, and based on what people told me on Twitter, is that several times Bray went into the corner and did this thing where he grabbed the ropes and leaned backwards upside down.
Yeah.
And when he did that, the house lights would go off, and they would project imagery onto the ring.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was so stupid. It was like, these are his Satan powers?
I guess.
And it's like, you know, because it was like maggots at first.
Maggots twice, and then cockroaches.
Yeah, well, no, it was maggots, worms, and cockroaches.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Maggots, worms
were in there.
Cockroaches.
And I was like, man, if you're going to do that, go all the way. Show like, I don't know, like buttholes or like crap.
Okay.
Or like a decapitation of some sort.
So,
like, you remember Red Asphalt? Like the old car videos?
Yeah.
Yeah, show some Red Asphalt.
Like when people get in the car accidents and both their ankles are broken inward.
Oh, that's horrible. Like show that. That'd fuck. That Bray Wyatt would have won.
So, when they first did it, I thought, okay, that's interesting. This is like an experimental wrestling match.
Right.
Okay, well, let's see where it goes. Well, first of all, it didn't go anywhere.
No, it didn't.
And that seemed to be the extent of Bray Wyatt's powers was the ability to kill. I know, it was one of the shortest matches of the card. And then I was like, okay, because it seemed like the first few sequences of the match that Bray was overpowering Randy.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, cool.
Bray has Satan powers.
Bray has satanic powers.
Yeah.
As they tease.
Yeah.
Because this whole time, like, after Randy burned the house down, after Bray rubbed himself with the ashes when he said he was like super leveled up.
Yeah.
I was expecting to see that made manifest in the ring. I wanted to see these powers on display. He got his ass handed to him more or less by Luke Harper on SmackDown. He did.
Who, by the way, was in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Yeah, he should have been in this match.
I know.
Would have made it a hell of a lot more interesting.
Yeah.
And so for the first couple of sequences of this match, I was excited.
Yeah.
Bray seemed like he was operating at a higher level.
Yeah.
That didn't last very long.
No. One RKO. No, well, two RKOs.
He hit one on the outside.
He hit one on the outside. Like halfway through the match. Yeah.
And then, another one. I don't understand why. I don't understand this match.
No, I don't get it at all. I have no idea. It was 10 minutes. It was like one RKO. I mean, okay. Yeah, I know there were two during the match, but Bray got back up. Like, he sold the shit out of it, the first one.
Yeah.
And if he has Satan powers, he should no-sell the shit out of it. This should have taken six
RKOs.
Yeah,
he should have gotten right up.
And here's the thing, dude. You can do that in 10 minutes. You can do that in 10 minutes. Jeez, take one of these matches out of here. You know what I mean? Like, to take one of these out of here and give them 15 minutes. But they can still do it in 10.
Yeah.
I know. It's so silly. Like, Bray Wyatt just should have come out and just started, like, completely no-selling everything Randy Orton did. Yeah. And Randy Orton has to go through a real struggle. And it just didn't happen. It was just crap.
It was absolute garbage.
It was crap. And now Randy Orton is your new WWE championship, and I can't think of anything more boring than that. Now, I'm hoping they continue this feud and more interesting things happen. Maybe there was just a pressure to put on an easily accessible match for WrestleMania, and because you don't want to drown out like
this was
the
not
casuals.
An easily accessible match when Bray is contorting his body. Doing that makes the house lights go off.
Yeah.
With people imagery being projected. Yeah, it was not good.
People were laughing at
not
that
good
dude.
At all. Yeah. It was awful.
I mean,
awful.
Kudos, I guess, for trying to be kind of creative. But, well, man, if you're going to do something, you got to follow through with it.
Look at this. The two matches for the top titles on both brands lasted a combined 15 minutes and change.
Oh, man.
Shorter than five other matches.
Speaking of which, the top title on the Raw brand featured Brock Lesnar.
Sure, but at least this one was fun.
Versus Goldberg. They did a little bit more than we thought they were going to do.
Yeah, they did.
Does Brock Lesnar jumping over Goldberg count as a moonsault-esque?
You mean a shooting star press? Well, no, because a shooting star press is a very specific thing.
No, totally, but he did something that we haven't seen. He did something athletic.
Oh, he might, yeah.
And so I kind of figured we'd see something like that, and I was impressed by that.
Yeah,
we both looked at each other and was like, whoa!
Yeah, that came out of nowhere.
He had some hops.
So Brock started out this match on the offense early, hitting a couple German suplexes.
Mm-hmm.
Goldberg, no-sold the last one, speared the shit out of Brock as he was turning around. I don't think Brock saw him at all.
Goldberg was just operating with infinite finishers.
Yes, because
he was all spears.
All spears with one jackhammer.
Right.
So he spears him again. Brock rolls to the outside. Goldberg spears him through the barricade.
Which was a rad spot.
Yeah.
Really cool spot.
Gets him back on the ring. I think he spears him again.
Yeah.
Gives him a jackhammer.
Brock kicks out. Two. Yeah.
Think he spears him again.
Mm-hmm.
Brock's kind of in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Tries to spear him. That's when Brock jumped over him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think he gave him like 10 German suplexes.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Hit an F5, got the win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And your new Universal Champion.
Fun.
Brock Lesnar.
Short. Yeah.
I mean, this is what... I figured it would go closer to 6 minutes. But so I'm like a minute and 15 seconds off. I thought they might do... Here's my thing. I didn't think that Goldberg would just be hitting spears. Like, he could do other stuff.
I know.
But, you know, this is a match about ultimate finishes. You know what
Yeah,
I mean?
Pretty much.
Like, that's... And I'm totally fine with that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really want striking. I want nothing but spears, jackhammers, suplexes.
And F5s.
And F5s. I'm totally fine with that. That's totally cool. Naomi won
the reclaimed
WWE Women's...
The SmackDown Women's title in a six-pack challenge.
Becky Lynch was dressed up like the chick from Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yes. Naomi picked up the win by having Alexa Bliss tap out to, I don't know what the name of the submission move is, but it looks legitimately painful.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. And I think Alexa Bliss did her contortionist thing with it.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's what she did. This is only five. This is surprising me. If somebody asked me how long this match was, I would have said 10 minutes. They packed a lot into this match.
I know, and it was pretty fast paced.
5 minutes, 35 seconds.
It was never boring.
Yeah, no, it was a fun match, but I mean, it was a filler to put between Brock and Goldberg and Roman Reigns versus The Undertaker.
This match I really want to hear with commentary.
It's 23 minutes long. Yeah, because JR came out to do commentary.
Well, not only that, but
my God.
I mean, I got the gist of the story, and I think in some respects, I don't know if they were trying to necessarily harken back to HBK's retirement match.
Okay.
But some of the story beats reminded me of that.
I can see that, yeah.
Especially towards the end when Reigns picks up Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
And to the end, Undertaker is defiant, just like HBK was.
Yeah, yeah.
And they also, they're rolling these video packages before the match. And they showed some stuff from that particular match, HBK's retirement.
Could I just say something?
What?
This match exceeded my very, very low expectations.
Well, they did stuff.
Yeah, I know. They did a lot more than I thought they would. I give so much credit to The Undertaker and to a degree Roman Reigns. Triple H says he's a heel because a lot of people boo him. But they need to find direction for this guy.
Yes.
They need to find. Because I think he can do a lot if he has direction.
See, because there was points in this match where it seemed like he was like, especially early on, he was super aggressive. Reigns, you know, The Undertaker got the upper hand early. Reigns came back. And he was like really jawing at The Undertaker.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Of course, The Undertaker, very first thing he did was like knock him down and say, this is my yard.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And he threw him out of the ring and said, that's your yard. Anyways. And I think he was up on that turnbuckle punching The Undertaker, and he was really jawing at him.
Mm-hmm.
And The Undertaker turned that into a last ride.
Yeah, that was rad.
He choked slam Reigns twice, once on a steel chair.
Mm-hmm.
Got a tombstone off.
Undertaker went through a table.
He was trying to get
Roman Reigns up for something, and Roman Reigns was able to
spear him through the announce table, outside.
So that was kind of cool.
I kind of felt like there was one spot where the match could have easily gotten off the rails, and it kind of did for a moment, where The Undertaker, after the first tombstone, tries to get Reigns in position for another.
Yeah.
I think Reigns is supposed to reverse it to tombstone The Undertaker.
Yes, definitely.
Reigns couldn't. The transition was bad.
Yeah, it was
Once it was off the first time, they couldn't get it back. So they just said, okay, we're going to skip
Reigns
that spot.
Reigns was supposed to hit a tombstone.
Reverse it, pick him up.
Yeah.
And just in the transition, he couldn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it seemed like for a bit, that got him out of rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
They found a way to get it back.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns hit 3 or 4 spears on The Undertaker and kept yelling at him, saying, why don't you stay down?
Yeah, Reigns was selling decent in this.
Yeah, he was doing a good job of acting at points.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
But, you know, Roman, he just needs to watch any of The Undertaker's WrestleMania matches pretty much to know that he doesn't stay down.
He doesn't stay down.
He doesn't stay down. Yeah. Winning at WrestleMania means everything to The Undertaker.
It
really does.
It's his legacy, Roman Reigns.
Yes. And so Reigns does like a super spear. He runs back and forth, runs the ropes 2 or 3 times.
That was rad.
Kind of confuses The Undertaker, it looked like, at one point.
He was like, where is he going?
And then, let's mention this. Before that, though, Reigns hits The Undertaker with a couple of Superman punches and goes in the corner just to see what's going to happen.
Right, right.
And The Undertaker does his sit-up thing. And then right as he reaches the apex of sitting up, he slouches back over.
Yeah. It was a nice moment. Back over.
Anyways, back to the finish.
And also, this is a no-holds-barred match. They announced that right before the match. Yeah. Everybody was like, wait,
so they
really
could use chairs.
Yeah.
Because there was chairs.
Yeah.
Reigns hits the super spear, gets the win. I think it was a situation where pretty much everybody in the crowd knew he was going to win.
Oh, for sure.
They were booing the shit out of him still.
Oh, big time, yeah.
Before, during, after the match. And Roman gets out of the ring pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Walks maybe a third of the way up the ramp, turns around, poses, all sorts of pyro.
Tons of pyro.
But his expression during that, I paid attention to it. I really wanted to. It wasn't joy. He wasn't necessarily, it wasn't like he was outwardly happy. Pleased with himself, maybe, but there was some complexity in, I think, what he was trying to portray there.
You think so? Really?
Yeah. Because especially because of the framing, it was kind of low angle on him, looking up at him.
Yeah.
With all the pyro in the background, it seemed like, you know, usually that low angle stuff is a hero shot. But given the environment, given how Triple H views Reigns as a character, it didn't feel celebratory.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
There was just that odd juxtaposition between the celebratory nature of the fireworks and Reigns' performance and how he's received by the crowd.
May I ask you something?
What?
Is there any possibility you're looking for something that ain't there?
That's entirely possible.
Because to me, his reaction, because I watched it, to me, his reaction was directionless. I still don't think he knows what to do about this booing stuff because nobody's told him what he should be doing besides just keep doing what we're telling you to do.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they went over with him. Look, do this regardless of what the crowd reaction is going to be because they're going to boo you. I mean, they have to tell him. They all have to know that.
Yeah.
And he goes up there and he does that. And it's like, he can't be heel. Well, he can't be really face.
Here's the thing, too.
So where is his direction?
He walks up the ramp. He turns around and he does his pose. He raises his arms over his head. And it's, I could be looking into
it. To me, it felt defiant.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. That's exactly what I was going to say. It's defiant. In defiance of the crowd.
Yeah.
And after that, his expressions lended themselves to that, too.
Okay, I can see that, then. I can see that.
And so Reigns makes his way back up the ramp. They do replays.
But isn't defiant, like, if they're going to do, like, wrestling is not subtle.
No.
If he's going to be defiant, isn't he going to, like, mad dog the crowd, like, on the top turnbuckle? Well, Undertaker was still in there. But, yeah, isn't he going to mad dog the crowd a little
maybe
bit?
They don't want, maybe they don't want
to jaw the crowd.
Maybe they don't want him to be, I don't know, maybe they don't want him to be that outward about it.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah. So after the match, what happens? Because this is amazing.
Yes.
Can I tell you the moment that was worth all of it? The moment that was so beautiful. It was one of those little wrestling moments that makes it transcendent. The exhale.
Yeah.
Did you see the exhale?
Yes.
Undertaker, he's in the middle of the ring. He puts his coat and hat back on.
While they do replays.
So he's back in the ring. Or he's in the ring. Roman's already gone. And he starts taking off his gloves.
Well, he takes time in the ring before that to kind of stand around and pose a little bit. Not really.
Mills about.
Yeah, he doesn't really do anything, any huge gestures or anything, but he just kind of stands and, you know, soaks in the thank you, Taker chants and
right. The
applause and stuff. But anyways, go ahead.
So then he takes off his gloves. He does it very slowly, very deliberately, puts it in a very specific spot in the middle of the ring, removes his jacket in very dramatic fashion, folds that up, puts it down. Takes off his hat, and he's got his crazy eyes, his dead eyes. And when he takes off his hat, he just goes, and it was, how long has he been around? 26 years?
Yeah.
It was 26 years of an exhale.
It felt like at that moment is when he let the character go.
I know, exactly.
That's exactly
what I'm saying. So what I wanted to have happen, happened. He ascended into heaven, but then he descended
into hell.
But that exhale was so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That was so, it was a moment of beauty for a guy who has had an amazing career. And I think that's it. I mean, he did his thing. Roman Reigns, here's the thing, dude. Roman Reigns is, like it or not, look, there's a million titles. We can rally around the other titles. If you don't want to rally around Roman Reigns, it's fine. Roman Reigns is going to be around a long time.
Yes.
And I personally believe he's going to be, I think he's going to be over. I don't think he's ever going to be a Cena-level talker guy.
No.
I think he'll be over because I think that eventually they're going to have to pull the trigger on something to give him some direction. And I think as soon as they do that, I think it'll people be interested because we've seen it before.
Yeah.
The Undertaker, he had to defeat The Undertaker because he's going to be taking on Brock next.
Yeah.
Or next year anyways.
Yeah.
And Brock can't have that over Roman Reigns. He can't. And so storytelling, it makes all the sense in the world that he beats The Undertaker.
Yeah.
And creative and Roman Reigns has to do their job and make sure this guy has either heel heat, face heat, but not X-Pac heat.
Yes.
Because that's what he has right now.
Yes.
And that's not acceptable. And I honestly think that when Triple H says, well, the guy is a heel, you know, I thought about it because I made the case. I was like, oh, well, I'll give Triple H the benefit of the doubt. But honestly, him saying that just sounds like he concocted something to feed to the press or fans or whatever. Because he gets asked that question
all the time.
You know.
And back when we talked about that, we brought up the concept that it could be X-Pac heat and
yeah.
not legit heel heat.
Because look at everybody else that you know Triple H is hands-on with. They're fucking over.
Yeah.
They are over in the ways that they're supposed to be over. Kevin Owens can turn, like when he turned on Jericho at the Festival of Friendship, he's a heel now.
Yeah.
He's a pure heel now.
Yeah.
That's Triple H all over. Finn Balor is a stud. He got injured and that sucks, but he'd be at the top of the card right now.
Yeah, he would be.
Look at everybody Triple H has his hands on. Everybody in NXT that he's bringing up and he's pushing. And they all have such a distinct direction.
Yes.
And Roman Reigns does not.
No. I noticed on Twitter before we started, someone posted a picture that as of a half hour after the end of WrestleMania, The Undertaker's gear was still sitting in the middle of the ring.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
I know. It's pretty neat.
That is pretty
interesting touch.
Yeah, so he
like they didn't disturb anything in the ring. The chair was still there. So his gear was still there.
We should have mentioned his entrance was truncated. I don't want to say truncated, but he instead
abridged.
Of abridged. Thank you. Instead of coming from the top of the ramp, they had
Like a platform that raised him up onto the ramp.
Yeah, so they had like under the ramp, he was just chilling there, and they raised him up. So he like cut half of his time on the ramp.
Still took a while getting to the ring.
Yeah, it totally did. But then that's where he descended back down into.
Yeah, nice touch.
But it was white light, so it's like, I'm going home to heaven.
We all knew more or less that The Undertaker was going to retire following this match. And I really liked, apart from Reigns saying once or twice, maybe, I'm going to retire you at WrestleMania, they didn't make that necessarily the story of the match.
Right.
They didn't make a huge deal about it. Right. It was quiet. It was subtle.
Yeah.
It seemed fitting with The Undertaker's character and what we know about Mark Calloway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That it was very understated. You know, the meaning was obvious, but no words were said.
Yeah. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was a really, really... I mean, we got to go and see this. And who knows? I mean, you never know. Dude, if he takes up DDP yoga, he might come back again.
I don't know if that helps with hip replacements. That's what he needs.
I hope he does not. Yeah. Regardless of what he has, I think this is a great fitting end. We both think that end of an era should have been it.
Yeah.
But, you know, given what were the cards were dealt, this was well done,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, it was very well done, very classy.
Yeah, it was. It totally was.
All right, do you want to revisit our predictions?
Yeah, who won, who lost? I'm tired. What am I going to wear? What am I going to wear, Larson?
Well, I got 12 winners picked correctly. You got 11.
Oh,
here's
wow.
the thing.
Okay.
I don't remember exactly what was said. I have you here saying there's going to be a proposal at the end of the Cena-Nikki match. I have no such note next to my pick.
Oh, did you not think that was going to happen?
I don't remember.
Oh, wow.
People on Twitter were saying that, Larson, you picked this right, the proposal thing. And I don't know, because I don't remember saying there's going to be a proposal. I might have said there wasn't. I don't know.
Well, we'll take a look right now. We'll see. And then through the magic of editing, we can see what you said.
I don't want to.
Does it matter? Do I tie if that's the case?
Yeah, you'll tie if that's the case.
Okay, cool.
But I don't want to have to edit anything out of this. I just want to put it in a timeline and export it.
All right. Well, you know what?
I'm willing to give the tie. Here's the thing, though. We bought crap shirts at the Superstore.
Yeah.
And we're going to wear them.
Hey, you know what, man? Your shirt is not crap. I got you that Taker Roman Reigns shirt.
I don't like it.
I think the illustration is really cool.
And I got you.
And you just said you liked the match. Oh, shit, it's in there. It's the one you guys can see on WWEshop.com.
I got you this.
Yeah, baby.
We spent good money on these shirts.
A lot of good money on these shirts.
So either we're wearing these to Raw tomorrow, yeah. or we're both wearing them for the Raw recap.
Oh, dude, I'm wearing that to Raw.
Okay.
I already decided I'm wearing that to Raw.
Okay, I'll wear the Undertaker one then.
I mean, I might have to wear it first just to make sure it's like... Oh, this is decent material.
Yeah, that's a good material.
Okay, well,
it's not the scratchy stuff.
Make sure I don't look pregnant in it, and I'll be good.
Okay.
But otherwise, I'll definitely wear it on the Raw recap. I don't care about that.
So that way, we're getting used to the shirts we spent money on.
Oh, man. It's been a long day.
Yes.
So thank you for, I guess, bearing with us. We don't have, like, what you guys saw on the broadcast, we don't have a recap for. But this was a live experience for
yes.
us, and so we thought we'd bring that to you and as soon as we possibly could. So that's why this is hopefully going up... you know, pretty shortly in the morning.
Yeah. Whatever. Well, I mean, I intend to sit, put these files together, make sure everything's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Export it, get it uploaded, put ads in it.
Yeah.
And just put it right up.
All right, cool.
No waiting around.
All right, well, another WrestleMania in the books. What were we doing last year for WrestleMania? We didn't go to WrestleMania.
No, we did a recap, yeah.
Okay, right on. Yeah. I might ask Dan.
No, last year we live streamed it. We did live stream reaction.
Oh, we did. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
That's what we did last
year. Oh, yeah, because Baron Corbin won the Battle Royal, and I was like marking out big time.
Yeah.
Might ask Dan to, like, do, I don't know, maybe we'll do something later in the week when we get back.
Yeah. I want to do something with Dan for mm-hmm. WrestleMania for sure.
Yeah, that'd be cool. We can do it like highlights and lowlights, maybe like a quick video or something.
Yeah.
All right. Well, a time well spent or some shit. I don't know. I'm going to bed. Thanks for watching. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.